The next LOS asks us to describe types and characteristics of residential mortgage loans that are typically securitized. A residential mortgage loan is a loan for which the collateral that underlies the loan is residential real estate. If the borrower defaults on the loan, the lender has a legal claim to the collateral property. One key characteristic of a mortgage loan is its loan-to-value ratio, the percentage of the value of the collateral real estate that is loaned to the borrower. The lower the loan-to-value ratio, the higher the borrower's equity in the property. For a lender, loans with lower loan-to-value ratios are less risky because the borrower has more to lose in the event of default and so is less likely to default. Also, if the property value is high compared to the loan amount, the lender is more likely to recover the amount loaned if the borrower defaults and the lender repossesses and sells the property. In the United States, mortgages with higher loan-to-value ratios made to borrowers with good credit are termed prime loans. Mortgages to borrowers of lower credit quality or that have a lower priority claim to the collateral in the event of default are termed subprime loans. Typical mortgage terms and structures differ across regions and countries. The key characteristics of mortgage loans include their maturity, the determination of interest charges, how the loan principal is amortized, the terms under which prepayments of loan principal are allowed, and the rights of the lender in the event of default by the borrower. The maturity or term of a mortgage loan is the time until the final loan payment is made. In the United States, mortgage loans typically have terms from 15 to 30 years. Terms are longer, 20 to 40 years in many European countries, and as long as 50 years in others. In Japan, mortgage loans may have terms of 100 years. A fixed-rate mortgage has an interest rate that is unchanged over the life of the mortgage. An adjustable-rate mortgage, also called a variable-rate mortgage, has an interest rate that can change over the life of the mortgage. An index-referenced mortgage has an interest rate that changes based on a market-determined reference rate, such as LIBOR or the one-year U.S. Treasury bill rate, although several other reference rates are used. A mortgage loan may have an interest rate that is fixed for some initial period, but adjusted after that. If the loan becomes an adjustable-rate mortgage after the initial fixed-rate period, it is called a hybrid mortgage. If the interest rate changes to a different fixed rate after the initial fixed-rate period, it is called a rollover or renegotiable mortgage. A convertible mortgage is one for which the initial interest rate terms, fixed or adjustable, can be changed at the option of the borrower to adjustable or fixed for the remaining loan period. With a fully amortizing loan, each payment includes both an interest payment and a repayment of some of the loan principal, so there is no loan principal remaining after the last regular mortgage payment. When payments are fixed for the life of the loan, payments in the beginning of the loan term have a large interest component and a small principal repayment component, and payments at the end of the loan term have a small interest component and a large principal repayment component. A loan is said to be partially amortizing when loan payments each include some repayment of principal, but there is a lump sum of principal that remains to be paid at the end of the loan period, which is called a balloon payment. With an interest-only mortgage, there is no principal repayment for either an initial period or the life of the loan. If no principal is paid for the life of the loan, it is an interest-only lifetime mortgage, and the balloon payment is the original loan principal amount. Other interest-only mortgages specify that payments are interest-only for some initial period, with partial or full amortization of principal after that. A partial or full repayment of principal in excess of the scheduled principal repayments required by the mortgage is referred to as a prepayment. If a homeowner sells her home during the mortgage term, a common occurrence, repaying the remaining principal is required and is one type of prepayment. A homeowner who refinances her mortgage prepays the remaining principal amount using the proceeds of a new, lower interest rate loan. Some homeowners prepay by paying more than their scheduled payments in order to reduce the principal outstanding, reduce their interest charges, and eventually pay off their loans prior to maturity. Some loans have no penalty for prepayment of principal, while others have a prepayment penalty. A prepayment penalty is an additional payment that must be made if principal is prepaid during an initial period after loan origination, or, for some mortgages, prepaid any time during the life of the mortgage. A prepayment penalty benefits the lender by providing compensation when the loan is paid off early, because market interest rates have decreased since the mortgage loan was made and loans are refinanced at lower interest rates. Some mortgage loans are non-recourse loans, which means the lender has no claim against the assets of the borrower except for the collateral property itself. When this is the case, if home values fall so the outstanding loan principal is greater than the home value, borrowers sometimes voluntarily return the property to the lender in what is called a strategic default. Other mortgage loans are recourse loans under which the lender has a claim against the borrower for the amount by which the sale of a repossessed collateral property falls short of the principal outstanding on the loan. Understandably, borrowers are more likely to default on non-recourse loans than on recourse loans. In Europe, most residential mortgages are recourse loans. In the United States, they are recourse loans in some states and non-recourse in others. Next, we come to two interrelated LOS. The first is to describe types and characteristics of residential mortgage-backed securities, including mortgage pass-through securities and collateralized mortgage obligations, and explain the cash flows and credit risk for each type. The second is to define prepayment risk and describe the prepayment risk of mortgage-backed securities. Residential mortgage-backed securities, or RMBS, in the United States are termed agency RMBS or non-agency RMBS, depending on the issuer of the securities. Agency RMBS are issued by the Government National Mortgage Association, Ginnie Mae, the Federal National Mortgage Association, Fannie Mae, and the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation, Freddie Mac. Ginnie Mae securities are considered to be backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac also guarantee the MBS they issue, but are government-sponsored enterprises. While they are not considered to be backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, these securities are considered to have very high credit quality. Agency RMBS are mortgage pass-through securities. Each mortgage pass-through security represents a claim on the cash flows from a pool of mortgages. Any number of mortgages may be used to form the pool, and any mortgage included in the pool is referred to as a securitized mortgage. The mortgages in the pool typically have different maturities and different mortgage rates. The weighted average maturity of the pool is equal to the weighted average of the financial maturities of all the mortgages in the pool, weighted by each mortgage's outstanding principal balance as a proportion of the total outstanding principal value of all the mortgages in the pool. The weighted average coupon of the pool is the weighted average of the interest rates of all the mortgages in the pool. The investment characteristics of mortgage pass-through securities are a function of their cash flow features and the strength of the guarantee provided. In order to be included in agency RMBS pools, loans must meet certain criteria, including a minimum percentage down payment, a maximum loan-to-value ratio, maximum size, minimum documentation required, and insurance purchased by the borrower. Loans that meet the standards for inclusion in agency RMBS are called conforming loans. Loans that do not meet the standards are called non-conforming loans. Non-conforming mortgages can be securitized by private companies for non-agency RMBS. Investors in mortgage pass-through securities receive the monthly cash flows generated by the underlying pool of mortgages, less any servicing and insurance fees. The fees account for the fact that pass-through rates, The coupon rates on the MBS, which are also called their net interest or net coupon, are less than the mortgage rate of the underlying mortgages in the pool. The timing of the cash flows to pass through security holders does not exactly coincide with the cash flows generated by the pool. This is due to the delay between the time the mortgage service provider receives the mortgage payments and the time the cash flows are passed through to the security holders. An important characteristic of pass-through securities is their prepayment risk. Because the mortgage loans used as collateral for agency MBS have no prepayment penalty, the MBS themselves have significant prepayment risk. Recall that prepayments are principal repayments in excess of the scheduled principal repayments for amortizing loans. The risk that prepayments will be slower than expected is called extension risk, and the risk that prepayments will be more rapid than expected is called contraction risk. Prepayments cause the timing and amount of cash flows from mortgage loans and MBS to be uncertain. Rapid prepayment reduces the amount of principal outstanding on the loans supporting the MBS, so the total interest paid over the life of the MBS is reduced. Because of this, it is necessary to make specific assumptions about prepayment rates in order to value mortgage pass-through securities. The single monthly mortality rate is the percentage by which prepayments reduce the month-end principal balance, compared to what it would have been with only scheduled principal payments and no prepayments. The conditional prepayment rate, or CPR, is an annualized measure of prepayments. Prepayment rates depend on the weighted average coupon rate of the loan pool, current interest rates, and prior prepayments of principal. The Public Securities Association, or PSA, prepayment benchmark assumes that the monthly prepayment rate for a mortgage pool increases as it ages, or becomes seasoned. The PSA benchmark is expressed as a monthly series of CPRs. If the conditional prepayment rate of an MBS is expected to be the same as the PSA standard benchmark CPR, we say the PSA is 100, or 100% of the benchmark CPR. A pool of mortgages may have prepayment rates that are faster or slower than PSA 100, depending on the current level of interest rates and the coupon rate of the issue. PSA of 50 means that prepayments are 50% of the PSA benchmark conditional prepayment rate, and a PSA of 130 means that prepayments are 130% of the PSA benchmark conditional prepayment rate. Based on an assumption about the prepayment rate for an MBS, we can calculate its weighted average life, or simply average life, which is the expected number of years until all the loan principal is repaid. Because of prepayments, the average life of an MBS will be less than its weighted average maturity. During periods of falling interest rates, the refinancing of mortgage loans will accelerate prepayments and reduce the average life of an MBS. A high PSA, such as 400, will reduce the average life of an MBS to only 4.5 years, compared to an average life of about 11 years for an MBS with a PSA of 100. Collateralized mortgage obligations, or CMOs, are securities that are collateralized by residential MBS. Each CMO has multiple bond classes, or CMO tranches, that have different exposures to prepayment risk. The total prepayment risk of the underlying RMBS is not changed. The prepayment risk is simply reapportioned among the various CMO tranches. Individual investors have different tolerances for prepayment risk. Some are primarily concerned with extension risk, while others may want to minimize exposure to contraction risk. By partitioning and distributing the cash flows generated by RMBS into different risk packages to better match investor preferences, CMOs increase the potential market for securitized mortgages and perhaps reduce funding costs as a result. CMOs are securities backed by mortgage pass-through securities. Interest and principal payments from the mortgage pass-through securities are allocated in a specific way to different bond classes called tranches, so that each tranche has a different claim against the cash flows of the mortgage pass-throughs. Each CMO tranche has a different mixture of contraction and extension risk. Hence, CMO securities can be more closely matched to the unique asset liability needs of institutional investors and investment managers. The primary CMO structures include sequential pay tranches, planned amortization class tranches, or PACs, support tranches, and floating rate tranches. One way to reapportion the prepayment risk inherent in the underlying pass-through MBS is to separate the cash flows into tranches that are retired sequentially, that is, create a sequential pay CMO. As an example of this structure, we consider a simple CMO with two tranches. Both tranches receive interest payments at a specified coupon rate, but all principal payments, both scheduled payments and prepayments, are paid to tranche 1, the short tranche, until its principal is paid off. Principal payments then flow to tranche 2 until its principal is paid off. Contraction and extension risks still exist with this structure, but they have been redistributed to some extent between the two tranches. The short tranche, which matures first, offers investors relatively more protection against extension risk. The other tranche provides relatively more protection against contraction risk. Another CMO structure has one or more planned amortization class, or PAC, tranches and support tranches. A PAC tranche is structured to make predictable payments, regardless of actual prepayments to the underlying MBS. The PAC tranches have both reduced contraction risk and reduced extension risk compared to the underlying MBS. Reducing the prepayment risk of the PAC tranches is achieved by increasing the prepayment risk of the CMO's support tranches. If principal repayments are more rapid than expected, the support tranche receives the principal repayments in excess of those specifically allocated to the PAC tranches. Conversely, if the actual principal repayments are slower than expected, principal repayments to the support tranche are curtailed, so the scheduled PAC payments can be made. The larger the support tranches relative to the PAC tranches, the smaller the probability that the cash flows to the PAC tranches will differ from their scheduled payments. For a given CMO structure, there are limits to how fast or slow actual prepayment experience can be before the support tranches can no longer either provide or absorb prepayments in the amounts required to keep the PAC payments to their scheduled amounts. The upper and lower bounds on the actual prepayment rates for which the support tranches are sufficient to either provide or absorb actual prepayments in order to keep the PAC principal repayments on schedule are called the initial PAC collar. A PAC may have an initial collar given as 100 to 300 PSA. This means the PAC will make its scheduled payments to investors unless actual prepayment experience is outside these bounds, above 300 PSA or below 100 PSA. If the prepayment rate is outside these bounds, so payments to a PAC tranche are either sooner or later than promised, the PAC tranche is referred to as a broken PAC. Support tranches have both more contraction risk and more extension risk than the underlying MBS and have a higher promised interest rate than the PAC tranche. Residential MBS not issued by Ginnie Mae, Fannie Mae, or Freddie Mac are referred to as non-agency RMBS. They are not guaranteed by the government, so credit risk is an important consideration. The credit quality of a non-agency MBS depends on the credit quality of the borrowers as well as the characteristics of the loans, such as their loan-to-value ratios. To be investment grade, most non-agency RMBS include some sort of credit enhancement. The level of credit enhancement is directly proportional to the credit rating desired by the issuer. Rating agencies determine the exact amount of credit enhancement necessary for an issue to hold a specific rating. Credit tranching or subordination is often used to enhance the credit quality of senior RMBS securities. A shifting interest mechanism is a method for addressing a decrease in the level of credit protection provided by junior tranches as prepayments or defaults occur in a senior subordinated structure. If prepayments or credit losses decrease the credit enhancement of the senior securities, the shifting interest mechanism suspends payments to the subordinated securities for a period of time until the credit quality of the senior securities is restored.